40 greetings and happy Friday to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Thanks for tuning in this evening. Welcome to the sunny side of sports.
Stand up! Stand up! Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the sunny side of sports.
Yes, my friend.
The sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports.
The sunny side of sports show.
Great show, bro. This is sunny side of sports.
Sunny side of sports right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Stand up. Stand up. Stand up. Stand up.
When it comes to basketball, the United States is widely regarded as the highest performing country in the world. The Americans once again showed their basketball supremacy at the recent Rio Olympics in Brazil, sweeping the gold medals in both the men's and women's tournaments. The USA won its third consecutive gold medal in the men's competition, and its sixth consecutive gold medal in the women's tournament. The rosters for both the USA's Olympic men's and women's basketball teams were made up of professional players. And while there are exceptions like LeBron James and Kobe Bryant, who jumped right from high school to the professional ranks, most of the best American basketball players honed their skills at the collegiate level. Snagging a scholarship to play college basketball here in the USA is a dream for many African youth who want a higher education while playing a game that can lead to fame, fortune, and glamour as an athlete. On this Friday, we meet a 19-year-old Senegalese player who is on that road. Ganlandou Cissé came to the United States 4 years ago to play on a competitive high school team. After he graduated, Cissé was offered a full scholarship at Long Island University in Brooklyn, New York. As he prepares for his second season with the team, nicknamed the Blackbirds, Cissé tells the Voice of America's Adam Phillips that pursuing his passion so far from home has been a challenge both on and off the court.
To leave your family like when you was 15 is really difficult. I didn't have no idea what world I'm going to discover, like what's going to be like here. So I just push through and I know what I want and I just follow my dream. Like I have to study more every day to understand the English because I came here, not my English was not good. So I'm just push through every day, trying to find friends to start talking more English. So, but just keep doing what you have to do. Everything will come along.
But it was already a departure when you started playing basketball back home. It was already out of your comfort zone, as they say. So I guess you had a little bit of a leave-taking even when you were there and you were getting good at basketball.
In the beginning, I didn't like playing basketball. I was like playing soccer because the area I live, everybody plays soccer. Everybody was saying, go play basketball, go play basketball. Because I was not good in soccer. I was really terrible in soccer. Then I realized I start getting tall, getting big. I said, let me try. And I go there and talk to the coach. It gave me the idea what it's about. Then I start practicing every day. And I see people like travel everywhere in the world because of basketball. And it's pushed me to study more in classes and to have a good education. Then I can follow my dream.
What is your dream? Like, what's your biggest dream?
So my biggest dream is to play in the NBA and like go back in my country, Senegal, give back to the community and help the child who lives there and who want follow the same dream I'm doing and help them, show them the way to how to do it. So that's my bigger dream and help my family to be in a better place.
You mean money-wise?
Money-wise, everybody like looking for money, like always be a good worker, hard worker. Money-wise will come.
Tell me, what position do you play? Tell me a little bit about the game you actually like to play.
I'm playing forward, center. I like this sport because you always have to run the floor, grab rebound, block shot, dunk on somebody. I mean, it's fun. It's really fun. Like,
do you enjoy the fans and that kind of thing?
Yeah, I enjoy it, like to be around the fans playing basketball.
What's the toughest thing about being in America?
The toughest thing of being in America? When I came here, the food was kind of bothering me because it was tasteless. No spice, nothing. So, like, I miss my mother cooking around me, so I really miss that.
Do you have a lot of friends from Senegal and from Africa here?
Actually, my high school teammate was from Senegal, so I got a lot of friends around here.
Can you tell me, like, one really proud moment that you had playing basketball here? Like, what was the play? What happened?
We won the State of New Jersey Championship. It's called the TOC. We won the final. I mean, I got a good final, like, a block, a shot. It was a wonderful moment there. He was trying to come dunk on me, so I just blocked his shot. So.
I like that glint in your eye when you say that.
Yeah, he was trying to come dunk on me, I just blocked his shot.
So it's interesting because what you're telling me is that even though you're succeeding here and you've got, I assume, a full scholarship, that it comes with a little bit of a price to come here so far away from your family and all that. It's not easy.
It's not really not easy, but I got that opportunity. I'm going to use it to make my family proud.
Make your family proud, Ganlandu. That's 19-year-old Ganlandu Cisse, a Senegalese student and basketball player at Long Island University in Brooklyn, New York. And Cisse was talking with VOA's Adam Phillips in New York City, a place that Jay-Z knows well.
Yeah, I'm out that Brooklyn. Now I'm down in Tribeca, right next to the Narrow. But I'll be hood forever. I'm the new Sinatra. And since I made it here, I can make it anywhere. Yeah, they love me everywhere. I used to cop in Harlem. All of my Dominicanos right there up on Broadway. Pulled me back to that McDonald's. Took it to my stash spot, 560 State Street. Catch me in the kitchen like a Simmons whipping pastry. Cruising down A Street, off-white Lexus. Driving so slow, but BK is from Texas. Me, I'm out that Bed-Stuy. Home of that boy Biggie. Now I live on Billboard, and I brought my boys with me. Say what up to Tata, still sipping my top. Sitting courtside, Knicks and Nets give me high five. I be spiked out, I could trip a referee. Tell by my attitude that I most definitely from.
Welcome to the bright lights, baby. Our reigning prince of pugilistics, Nnamdi Hollywood Moeta, has been taking a look at the recent Olympic boxing competition in Rio de Janeiro, Brazil. Fighters from Uzbekistan won the most medals in Rio, a total of 7, 3 gold, 2 silver, and 2 bronze. Cuba was next with 6 medals, 3 gold and 3 bronze. And France was third on the Olympic boxing table with 6 medals, 2 gold, 2 silver, and 2 bronze. Remember, VOA Olympic fans, even though Cuba and France each won 6 medals, the Cubans won more gold than the French, so that's why they were ranked higher. Nnamdi, one thing I couldn't figure out in Rio was the headgear situation. The female boxers wore headgear. The male boxers didn't. What's the reason for that?
Well, Sonny, I'm not a big fan of female boxers in the first place. I'm a father, I have a daughter, you know, and the idea of my daughter being knocked on the head, you know. But check this out now. This is where the IBA, they're going just way out of their league. Tokyo 2020, there will be no head guard for the women boxers. I don't think the world should allow that to happen at all. The idea of two women hitting each other on the head, and this idea of taking off the head guard for amateurs, trying to make amateurs look like pro, is totally wrong. It's really, really wrong.
Namdi, there's some that say wearing headgear makes you more liable for concussions. Your reaction?
That makes no sense, Sonny. The job of the headgear is to protect you from concussion. And some of the medical doctors have already come out and spoke about it, that this is totally wrong. Another reason they were talking about is the headgear gives the other boxer easy targets, so everybody's going for the head blows, and so it makes no sense. Looking at the headgear also, some fighters were unable to move on to the next round because they had bad cuts, you know. And we saw a lot of cuts in the Olympics in Rio.
Namdi, you mentioned how you're not a big fan of female boxing, but one American female in particular, Clarissa Shields, let's give her a shout-out. First U.S. boxer to win two gold medals. Do you see a future for her in professional boxing?
Also, Sonny, we should also add that she won the Val Baker Trophy for the outstanding boxer in the Olympics for women. Right. Female pro boxing is just finally coming around in the U.S. It's not like mixed martial arts. So who knows, in a year or two from now, remember, we don't have no Leila Ali. Leila Ali was a big star in professional boxing. So maybe Clarissa Shields will be. But the problem here, Sonny, this past Olympics, there was no primetime boxing on free television, Sonny. And the only way we get to know superstars or superstars were built, but look back to those days, Sonny, we're able to see Evander Holyfield. We're able to see Oscar De La Hoya. These cats were household names when they turned pro. Today, so Clarissa Shield, not everybody will know because the fights were shown on pay TV.
In fact, Namdi, one name you didn't mention, if we go back 40 years, hard to believe it's been 40 years, 1976 at the Montreal Olympics, Sugar Ray Leonard won the gold medal, and he almost used the Olympics as a springboard to his professional career.
Well, George Foreman, Joe Frazier, Muhammad Ali, all these fights during the Olympics were on primetime TV. What was coming out of Rio was a whole lot of synchronized swimming, gymnastics. You get tired of it, you know. I mean, our sports boxing was relegated to some cable TV. Well, how many times are you going to see synchronized swimming and some other sports? Give me a break. I am already turned off. I'm tuned out, man.
Namdi, if you can tune in just for a little longer. We mentioned Clarissa Shields, and earlier you talked about maybe not the greatest African performances. Did any fighters catch your eye in Rio that you think could be, a solid professional down the road?
Efe Ajagba from Nigeria, super heavyweight. All he needs now is the good management team and a good promoter, and he needs to come to the Mecca of boxing. And you know, the Mecca of boxing is the USA. It's not Canada. It's not the UK. It's not Europe. It is the US. And until he is aligned with the best team, the best trainer, and the best coach, then he can make the move because he has the power, he's got the build of a good heavyweight, and I think that can happen.
Looking ahead to Tokyo 2020, if you can sort of be the boxing commissioner for Tokyo, what changes would you make for the Olympic boxing tournament?
I will bring back the headgear. Tell the professional boxers to stay home. Though Hassan Jikam from Cameroon lost in the first opening round and is a former world WBO middleweight champion. He lost to an amateur, which means his professional career is almost out. Bring back the headgear. Don't make the fights, because they're talking about making the amateur fight five rounds instead of three rounds, Sonny. And now you're going to add five judges ringside. With three judges, we're getting all these dubious guys acting as judges. When we throw in two more, it's going to be a lot and lots of confusion. So keep the pros away, bring back the headgear, leave the shirts for the guys, because now they're talking about the male boxers were not going to wear shirts in the what they put on. So all these changes they are talking about must not happen because that will kill amateur boxing.
Finally, Namdi, you talk about keeping the pros away from Olympic boxing. Financially, what does an Olympic medal or even fighting in the Olympics mean to a professional fighter?
Sonny, it means nothing. Because one, there's no TV money for you. Two, if you lose the fight, you won't be ranked in the WBC, IBF, or WBA for 2 years. You're out of competition in terms of making money. I think any professional boxer that goes to the Olympics needs to ask himself or herself, where are we going to make this money?
Thanks, Namdi. That's our reigning prince of pugilistics, Namdi Hollywood Moeta. And Namdi will be back on the Sunny Side of Sports next week with more hard-hitting verbal jabs. I encourage our VOA listeners to check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page. The address is facebook.com/VOA Sunny. Once again, that address, facebook.com/VOA Sunny. You'll see photos and videos, and you can post your comments. So check out the Sunny Side of Sports Facebook page.
Voice of America.
Time to talk social media trends in sports on the Voice of America. And joining us once again here in Studio 22 is my VOA colleague, Doug Bernard. Happy Friday, Doug.
Happy Friday. Sporty greetings to you, Sonny.
Sporty greetings to you, Doug. What's trending in the sports world?
Well, you know, I think it was Michael Corleone in The Godfather who famously said, just when you think you're out, they pull you back in. So here we go again. Ryan Lochte is back in the news. So police officials in Rio say they've finished their investigation into the allegations of a robbery and the incident, let's just call it, at the gas station. And they have decided to charge Ryan Lochte with the charges falsely claiming a charge. In other words, making a false report to a police officer. They have requested that he come back to Brazil to face a court, and he could face 1 to 6 months in jail if he were convicted.
Any chance Lochte can be extradited?
Probably two chances, slim and fat. and I think fat just left town. I think for a crime of this sort, the U.S. officials, I mean, all the nations, most of them have extradition treaties and whatnot. But this came up at a State Department briefing last week, and the State Department officials made it clear there would be no plans to extradite Lochte. However, there are questions about what this may mean for Ryan Lochte's swimming career, especially in terms of international competitions. Now, I don't think he's going to be sort of hunted, on the trail. But you know, there's a possibility that he may just not be able to go to certain countries now.
He has said he would like to continue his swimming career.
He has.
But I think there are question marks whether he will at this point.
Exactly. And of course, again, he is 32 years old. Not that that means a lot, but that's, you know, sort of pushing the edge, I think, perhaps for, you know, really serious sort of competition at the level that he has. However, I guess in his favor, let's be fair, although several people have dropped him in terms of endorsements, Speedo, Ralph Lauren, a few others. He did pick up a new endorsement, and that's for the Pine Brothers cough medicine. And
okay.
he tweeted out, thanks to all the folks at Pine Brothers for your confidence in me. Looking forward to making you proud. A lot of people, though, are talking about, you know, Ryan Lochte kind of skating here. Now, you may know that Hope Solo was recently banned for 6 months following her comments at the Rio Olympics, calling the Swedish team that she faced cowards. She's been banned now from competition for six months. And this is one Twitter user, Natalie. She says, well, can we talk about how Hope Solo was suspended for saying something that wasn't even bad? It may have been bad. But Ryan Lochte's actions were completely excused. So the bigger question now is the U.S. Olympic Committee going to, you know, take this up? It's not quite over yet. And just to put the cap on this story, hopefully we don't have to revisit Ryan Lochte again. Guess where he's going next?
I'm going to guess the dance floor.
You, sir, win the gold medal. Ryan Lochte will be competing on Dancing with the Stars this season. So
now, do you consider that an endorsement of sorts?
I'm just going to keep mum on that one.
Doug, what else is trending in the sports world?
Well, you know, we're sort of in this donut hole. We've wrapped up the Olympics, a really great games it was. We're not quite into postseason baseball. The NFL has yet to start. That starts, season opens September 8th. The NHL hockey doesn't open until October. So we're sort of in this weird spot. However, and the Paralympics are next week, by the way. That'll be some great competition. There is, however, an ongoing international competition, and that's La Vuelta de España. Now, it's one of the three big bike racing competitions. There's Tour de France, which everybody knows about, the Giro d'Italia, and in the middle right now is La Vuelta de España, and obviously it's a Spanish race. So, big competition today just marked the finish of the sixth stage. So far. But yesterday, there was some controversy. Stephen Kriswich of the Netherlands was leading, and then he crashed into a bollard. Now, bollard is basically like kind of a, you know, like a metal or concrete pole that sort of sticks in the ground, maybe keeps traffic at bay and whatnot. The biking officials are supposed to mark these. So, you know, the bicyclists don't smash into them. They didn't mark this one, and he smashed into it. Unfortunately, he also broke his collarbone and a few ribs. He's out of the race. And this has left a number of people sort of really upset on social media. Now, Kriswich, 29-year-old Dutchman, he tweeted, didn't see that one coming.
Ouch.
Disappointed to leave La Vuelta already, but strong team behind. Good luck, boys. Now, the Vuelta says that they are looking into it. They don't know how that happened. It was an oversight, but a lot of bicyclists are really upset about it because it really presents a serious, I mean, imagine, you know, if a large collection of bicyclists were to kind of run into that and end up crashing into each other, the peloton, as they call it, that would really lead to some serious injury.
Doug, you mentioned how the National Football League hasn't officially kicked off yet. We're in the preseason. Anything trending in terms of the NFL preseason?
Yes, as you say, September 8th marks the official start with much hoopla of the NFL season. But last night, Thursday, there was a game. Dallas and Seattle met. The Seahawks really rolled over the Cowboys 27-17. Perhaps not surprising because Dallas star quarterback, and I will just say troubled quarterback, Tony Romo. It was second and seven. He took a short drop out of the shotgun. He tucked. He ran. The Seahawks' Cliff Avril came around behind him. Romo hit the ground, and he hit hard, and he left the game. It is an injury there. The team is not saying what sort of injury at this point. Tony Romo has been plagued by these sorts of injuries. And on Twitter right now, there's a lot of people complaining that it seems that, you know, the quarterback for the Cowboys seems to be made of glass or something, but because he keeps getting broken, as it were. But so a lot of people talking about that, and of course, just also how it's going to perhaps mess up their fantasy football leagues and that sort of thing.
The Voice of America's Doug Bernard. Thanks, Doug, and I guess you'll be back on Monday.
I'll see you then.
Thank you, Doug. And that wraps up the August 26th edition of The Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Peter Hundley. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. Have a good weekend, everyone. And that's The Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it. We'll be right back.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
At least 15 Darfuri individuals were detained and 9 are still in detention without charge in Nyar Teti in central Darfur. The United States is gravely concerned about the government of Sudan's incarceration of these people and immediately expressed its concern about the reported detention to senior Sudanese officials. The United States calls on the government of Sudan to immediately release all those detained. The detentions followed a visit by U.S. Special Envoy to Sudan and South Sudan, Donald Booth, to Sudan's north and central Darfur states, as well as internally displaced persons camps at Sortoni and Nyar Teti in the Jebel Mara region of Darfur in late July. Many others who were not detained were nonetheless questioned by security officials about the nature of their contact with the Special Envoy. These actions are particularly unfortunate as they undercut the government of Sudan's initially granting permission for the special envoy's fact-finding visit and allowing him to travel to areas and speak with individuals of his choosing. Such first-hand knowledge is important to shaping future U.S. engagement with the government of Sudan and opposition groups and leaders regarding Darfur. As Sudan seeks to pursue an inclusive national political dialogue, the Sudanese people need to be free to voice their opinions. The United States urges the government of Sudan to respect its citizens' rights to freedoms of expression, peaceful assembly and association, including by the press. These are vital elements for an environment conducive to a national dialogue.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government. For a transcript of this and other VOA editorials, or to receive editorials by email, visit the VOA Editorials Internet homepage at www.voanews.com/editorials.
Your ears on Music Time in Africa, your connection to the best Pan-African music. Hello, this is Heather Maxwell inviting you to join me every Saturday and Sunday at 1500 and 2000 UTC. Every show brings you the best music from across the continent. Old songs you know and love, and new songs to discover. You'll meet artists, too. Listen to Africa's superstars and rising stars in exclusive, unplugged interviews on the radio or on my YouTube channel. Search for Heather Maxwell, Music Time in Africa. We play only the best right here on VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Malaria kills thousands of people each year, but there are some simple things you can do to protect your family. If you can, put screens in your windows. A simple screen can keep disease-carrying mosquitoes out of your home. If you go outside, wear light-colored clothing and long pants and long sleeves, especially when it is dark and mosquitoes are most active. After it rains, empty all containers of standing water. The water in just one discarded tire can become a breeding ground for thousands of mosquitoes. Make sure your home is clear of debris and anything that holds water, including discarded cans, water containers, and rubbish. Empty containers that livestock drink from regularly so that mosquitoes cannot breed there.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Know the political process that determines who the next president of the United States will be? Tune in to VOA's extensive coverage of the campaigns, the voting, and the final tallying to find out how citizens choose their next president. Right here on VOA.